The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We have to start with hurling because this has been the weekend of hurling after two semi-finals, one yesterday which was an absolute classic. And Joe Quaid, I might surprise you by not starting by talking about Cork, much as I might love to, but I have to say that, you know, it was an end to the five in a row ambitions of Limerick, but possibly the greatest team that's ever played hurling, and they went on fighting, which is a sure sign credit to them.
Yeah, look, I suppose the only one that's still debating whether they're the greatest team ever are people from Kilkenny. I just two friends saying the debate is over, but I don't think it is. I think, look, they were in the game. They were in control, really, the first half, Matt. I think Cork hit 10 shots at goal then after half-time and hit 10 points. Like, that's phenomenal finishing. And to be fair, I suppose We've been wasteful over the years and hit a lot of wides and won games. It was eventually going to come back and bite us, and it probably did yesterday. But what a game, hurling, a game for the ages. And look, I'm not being smug or cocky or anything here. I think hurling as a sport needed a Clare and a Cork victory over the weekend.
Okay, well, we get to that, but I had to have said, I thought when your Nicky saved from a Hoggy at the very end of the game, and I was slumped in my seat because I was getting flashbacks of 2018 and a great save that he made then from Seamus Harnedy, and I'm just thinking they're going to go down Limerick and score at the other end. But in fairness, when you talk about great goaling performances, Patrick Collins, the Cork keeper, hasn't been getting an enormous amount of praise over the last few years. He certainly pulled it out yesterday, didn't he?
Absolutely. Look, he kept him in the game, I suppose, Matt. We could have been out of sight only for him. The double save he made where the ball hit him twice, that was a cornerstone of my goalkeeping career. A lot of people said I never saw it, but I said it made no difference once it hits you.
Of course, you say that, and I'm going to bring Will O'Callaghan, the from Off the Ball, the host of the Hurling Pod, in here, because there was a lot of fury amongst a lot of Cork fans that the second Brian Hayes goal was chalked off.
Yeah, it was a very hard one to call in real time. Obviously, when we saw the slowdown replay, you could see that there was a clear hand-passing action. So, two hand passes were called as throws at the weekend. We saw the one that happened on Saturday afternoon at Mossy Keown as well. And now he was hitting the ground at the point, but he made a very clear attempt to make a clear hand pass. And all the throw balls that we may well have seen across both games, two of the more high-profile ones were actually called.
But Limerick also got a point off for free, a contentious one, of Cork. I mean, and down where I was, there was a few times on the sideline and there was a few dubious-looking Limerick hand passes.
Yeah, I know, I'd agree. And look, I think on Hayes' one, it was a very, very tight call. And had Cork scored at that point, you know, there were so many different kind of moments of momentum within the game, but that would have been a huge one at that stage because Limerick had finished out the half fairly strongly. And as Joe mentioned, there were a couple of points up at half time, and you're thinking
they wouldn't have been ahead at half time if that goal had been allowed.
Exactly. And then we saw what Cork did afterwards. They came roaring out. And the one thing you don't want to do, Matt, is get into a shootout with this Cork team. Okay, 10 out of 10 is maybe a slight aberration when a team does that over a spell. And to go 4 points up at that stage in the game, they almost did to Limerick. But Joe, I'm sure, would agree, what Limerick have done to a lot of teams over the last while. Limerick have been so well known for how they play in the third quarter, but it was Cork who dominated that period. But to their credit, like, you know, they found themselves, well, 5 or 6 points down after 57 minutes. And yes, Limerick might feel disappointed they didn't take that game to extra time. They snatched at a couple of shots down the stretch when it looked like Cork were getting a bit nervy.
Indeed, Tommy, that was one thing, or sorry, Joe, that was the thing that really sort of struck me as well, was that the impact of the Limerick subs, they got some very good scores to bring them back, and then it was the subs who didn't convert the last few chances, which was very tough on them, I thought.
Yeah, look, I suppose they'll look back at it and regret that, but I think Adam English came on, scored 2 points, Shane O'Brien came on, scored 2 points to bring us back into the game. And for lads of their age to come on and have that impact in a game that was so quick, the pace, the intensity and everything of it. It's very hard to come off a bench and get up to that intensity as quick as they did. So, look, Matt, that team owes us nothing. It's nice to see a few lads coming on. I think John Kiley alluded that not everyone might be there next year.
Will that be by their own choice, do you think, or is he intend dropping a few?
Come here, he's the king of Limerick down here, he can do whatever he wants.
Will he stay on for it, do you reckon?
I don't know, to be honest. I had a conversation with John back in 2019, and he had kind of indicated he was going to do one more year, which is 2020. We are now at 2024, heading next year to 2025. He's a young family as well, and we all know the time that this takes up and the effect it has on family life and everything. I don't know, but I'd say everyone in the county wants him to stay on. It's not negotiable, as far as I'm concerned, that John Kiely, everything should be done to keep that man and Paul Kinnock and the whole backroom team next year.
And of course, the other thing though as well, Joe, I suppose, is, you know, whether the players have the desire, because sometimes maybe, I don't think anyone could doubt that Limerick had the desire yesterday to win five in a row, but maybe Cork just had that little bit extra desperation to do it. So how do Limerick get back up to the required levels of desire next year? You know, is that going to be the issue, that maybe a few fellas will say, I've done it, it's been very demanding over the last few years? Or could it be the fellas will say, well, you know what, I'm still young enough, this is a very special thing in life to be going on with, I'm going to try and do it all again, that Limerick could bounce back stronger next year?
Yeah, look, I suppose it's very easy to keep going when you're winning. That's the easy part, because everything is good and the record they have is phenomenal. The real tester will be to see, as you said, Matt, is the desire there to go back next year. Probably will be a few retirements, I would think. I'm just hoping that there isn't a gang of them that will go out on block. That's the one thing. No, the age profile suggests it wouldn't. And look, Matt, for the last 7 years, this has been their life. I always said when we hurled, it was inter-county, it was our hobby. This is now their lifestyle. This is what they've been used to for the last 7 years. Some of them since they're teenagers. So I don't think they'll walk away that easily.
Okay. Now, we'll have plenty of time to talk about Cork again in the build-up to the final, Cork and Clare. And I don't want to forget Clare's victory over Kilkenny, Will.
You're being very restrained here, Matt, but go on.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm being restrained. Because while winning yesterday was brilliant for Cork, and it was twice they've beaten Limerick this year, don't forget that.
The Limerick have lost five games since 2018, and three of them have been Cork.
Okay. And if you think about it, Cork had to win the game in Páirc Uí or they were gone. Mm-hmm. They had to win yesterday against the All-Ireland. But it'll count for nothing if they don't go and win the All-Ireland final. And there's a big monkey on Cork's back. 2005, since they last won in All-Ireland, and the last time, or well, not the last time, because they lost, were hammered by Limerick 3 years ago, but 2013 they lost the replay to Clare. Mm. There's an awful lot for this Cork team to get back and focus upon. So then what about Clare? Because they showed resilience, didn't they? Because at the end of the first half it looked like Kilkenny had them, and if it hadn't been, in fact, again for great goalkeeping, I think it would have been that Kilkenny would have been out of sight.
I'd agree. I mean, Quilligan played remarkably well. There was very little he could do about the Cody goal, which was straight out of Wimbledon as opposed to a hurling match. And
it was a great goal.
It was incredible. Now look, you can probably question maybe the steps that he took, and maybe question the fact that he went and gave Adam Hogan maybe that extra bit of motivation by getting up in his face after the ball had hit the net, because Hogan did a wonderful job him either side of that goal. Really, he was one of the most important players on the Clare team. But I really thought at half time Kilkenny were 1-10 to 8 points up. It was a familiar story to what had happened over the last couple of years. It was a 5 point gap as well last season, and Clare weren't able to pull that back. But to outscore Kilkenny by 12 points to 4 after the 47th minute, to score the last 6 points of the game, and to control things as well as they did, where Kilkenny absolutely drifted out of the game, was remarkable from the Clare side. As you say, even Brian Lone said afterwards, they were very poor. He was considering, he said he could have made 7 or 8 substitutions at half time. That's how badly they were going in the first half. And then just some of their players got unlocked in the second half. You know, Tony Kelly, who had been really well marshalled up at that point, finished with 3 points. I think a word for Ryan Taylor, who came on almost a year to the day when he did his knee against Kilkenny last season. He came on and just kind of became that link man around the middle of the field. And in the final third, he started to just set some chances up for O'Donnell and for Kelly. They started picking off some scores. Aidan McCarthy had been dropped the last day, scores 11 points. Clare would be really happy that they didn't play all that well, Matt, but still finally got this win against Kilkenny. Only their second ever win against them in Championship. And, you know, it banishes the defeats they took in the Championship against them the last couple of years. And I think a word for Dave McInerney as well. I thought he did a wonderful job out around Adrian Mullen. I'm not sure if he was 100% fit going into the game, but they neutralised some of Kilkenny's major threats and kept Kilkenny to a goal and 6 points the entire second half, which is a massive defensive showing from them.
So, Joe, how impressed were you by the resilience shown by Clare?
Yeah, look, I suppose they were after coming off the the Munster final, the third Munster final defeat, it's very easy to throw in the towel and say we're just not good enough, we're not going to get there. But to be fair, I thought they were dead in the water at half time. I said, yeah, same old Clare, they're not going to get over the line. But to be fair, just the resilience that they showed to get past Kilkenny. And Kilkenny, no matter how bad or good Kilkenny are playing, Kilkenny are always hard to beat. But look, at the end of the day, Matt, it's semi-finals. They're there for one thing and one thing only, to be won. Because if you lose, you'll never play in a final. And to be fair, I wouldn't like to be looking for tickets now for the All-Ireland. It's going to be murder between, I suppose, new teams back in it again for the first time, really, other than Kilkenny in 19. You know, upsetting the apple cart with us, but it's mouth-watering to think of it. Could I call it? It's a team of resilience versus a team. Yes, Cork were resilient yesterday, but I think Cork were on the front foot from day one, and their pace is the one thing that I think will carry Cork over the line, as much as it pains me to say it, you Matt.
Why does it pain you? I thought the greater rivalry Limerick had was with Clare, Joe. And anyway, I'm sorry.
You do realise, Matt, I grew up 6 miles from the Cork ball.
Oh, I know. Listen, hang on a second here now. Two things I'll say to that. I was at the match with a friend of mine from Mitchelstown who was telling me all about the bonfires that would be lit in Limerick when Cork were coming back from a losing game in Croke Park. But, you know, your Wikipedia entry has you have been born in Cork before you moved to Limerick.
That's obviously some Alec from Cork. It's my brother and my sister were born in Cork, Matt, and my parents said that's it. That's enough Corking, so let's move home.
I leave you go, Joe Quay. Thank you very much for that. Will O'Callaghan, I want to ask you about a couple of Gaelic football stories. Mm. Mickey Hart gone from Derry after 1 year of a 3-year contract, an enormous transfer, giving up Louth, going into Derry, having been the All Ireland winning manager with Tyrone multiple times, winning the National League, and then everything fell apart in the Championship.
That's a good summation of it. I would say Louth are probably throwing Ger Brennan's phone away at the moment to make sure he doesn't get a call to go either to Dublin or to Derry potentially for next season. But yeah, I mean, there was so much promise early in the year. Obviously, we talked about it, that they front-loaded their season to a large extent, which is what Mickey Hart tends to do. It's his blueprint for year one. So they went hard at the McKenna Cup even before the league came around, won that competition. Then, as we remember, they went strong away to Kerry in the first round of the league, which probably set a marker for what they were hoping to do. Go on to win the National Football League on penalties against Dublin, but they go through this spell from the last round of the normal round of the league, where the only game that they win in 70 minutes between there and an All-Ireland quarter-final is a game against Westmeath at the end of the group stage. Their form went off a cliff after the league final. Now, whether that was a case of they were prepared incorrectly, whether that was a Mickey Hart wanted to change the approach, I don't know. I mean, the way they were hit for so many goals against Armagh seemed to really change their approach, and Donegal going through them as well.
Yeah.
And Derry never played with that flourish after that.
Okay, and we should also talk about John O'Mahony, who, of course, was a great manager, 2 All-Irelands with Galway. Winning a provincial title with Leitrim in 94 was an astonishing achievement. He didn't have the outcomes with Mayo, his native Mayo, that he would have wanted, but I still think he was held in enormously high regard for what he achieved at them at provincial level, bringing him to the final in 89 against Cork. And just as well, and I knew him more from his involvement in politics, but just been a thoroughly decent individual.
I would agree. Like, you won't find anyone saying a bad word about John O'Mahony yesterday or today.
No.
It's been tributes across the board. And as you say, with Mayo, again, like every manager that goes in with Mayo seems to have the hard luck story when it comes to All-Ireland finals either side of the 1950s, but got his own county to an All-Ireland final in 1989. What he achieved with Galway was remarkable in 98 and 2001, particularly allowing the cameras to follow them around in 1998, so we can go back and watch that documentary, which I did yesterday morning when I'd heard about the news of John's passing. He had a fantastic record with clubs around the country as well, was always incredibly busy, even outside of his political career, where he would still take on club jobs, went back for a second spell with Mayo, which didn't quite work out for me either. But I think in a way 1994 stands up there with the achievement of getting Galway up the steps of the Hogan Stand to win one of the most unlikely provincial championships of all time,
and beat everyone on the way to it.
That's it, so they beat Mayo and Galway on the run to that title, which is incredible. Probably won't be repeated anytime soon that a team who were so on fancy going into provincial would actually go and win it, a bit like John Bonn, another Mayo man, winning in 92 with Clare. So it's one of those achievements that stands the test of time, but always a great guy, involved in the media, any work that I've done with him previously, an absolute gentleman to do.
Yeah, our sympathies to his family in relation to that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.